difficult not to want to start singing when you're meeting together in church, but we're going to have to be very careful about that. It'd be great if you had Psalm 4 open in front of you, if you've got a Bible, and there is an outline on the service sheet. I wonder what your week has been like this last week since we met together. Maybe you have been full of worries about different kinds of things in your life, maybe in your job. Maybe you've been worried about exam results and that kind of thing. Maybe you have been concerned about your failings and your sin. Maybe you've been made to feel odd this week. I had a conversation this week in which I was made to feel distinctly odd for being a Christian, as if it was the strangest thing these days to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you know that you've hurt somebody in the way that you have acted or the things that you have said. How can we go through life with peace and joy, even in the midst of all those different things that might have happened? Lots of different things will happen to each one of us. How can we go through life with peace and joy? This coming week, how can we know peace and joy in the midst of a world that is spoilt by sin and disease and death? How can we know peace and joy as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ when he promises suffering and rejection? Well, at the start of Psalm 4, look at David, who is under pressure and in distress. Verse 1, "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer." But then look how it ends. Distress, pressure at the start, but then verse 7. "You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." So there's the question. How can we know peace and joy in the midst of distress and the challenges of following Jesus in a world of sin and disease and death? And let me say, though we can't do this when we meet together, even to sing about it, do it privately. Because look, Psalm 4, the titles there, or what it says, which are part of the inspired text, "For the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm of David." So David could sing. God's people could sing. And we too can sing in all the challenges of following King Jesus. Now, there's no setting for Psalm 4. It might be a continuation of Psalm 3, when we're told that King David fled from his son Absalom. But actually, there were lots of times when King David, both before he came to the throne as the Lord's anointed, the Lord's chosen one, and then afterwards when he was under pressure and in great distress. But the important thing to remember as we look at these early Psalms is that David is God's anointed chosen king. And God's king should bring blessing to God's people. And it should be a time of peace and blessing and joy. But actually here, he suffers and is rejected. And the people are also not experiencing peace and blessing. Now, in David's case, that happens because of his sin and disobedience to God's law. And his kingdom falls apart. There is no peace and blessing for him, nor for God's people. And David's experience is one of distress. But in the Old Testament, God promises a perfect king and a kingdom that will last forever. A kingdom in which all the effects of sin will one day be reversed, where there'll be no sin or death or suffering or disease or tears, and all nations will be blessed. There's great promises of that. So we must understand this psalm, indeed every psalm, fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the life and mission of the Lord Jesus and his people who are united to him. So just listen to the words of the risen Jesus in Luke 24. The risen Jesus said to them, this is to the disciples, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written." So this is what is there in the Old Testament scriptures and the Psalms. "The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." So the Lord Jesus shaped his life and mission from reading the Psalms. Now remember, in Psalm 1, we had the righteous man, the man who delights in believing and obeying the law of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus is the perfect righteous man. In Psalm 2, if you remember, God installs a king on his throne who is victorious and triumphant. He will judge all the enemies of God and his people. His kingdom will be for all nations. And blessed are all who take refuge in him. If you run to this king, he will save you and bless you. If you run from him, you will be judged and destroyed. So we must read these psalms fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember that David is not like us as a king. But David is like us because he's a sinner and he's trying to trust the Lord, sometimes successfully, sometimes not so successfully. And that's actually why we identify so much with these psalms, don't we? See, I guarantee if I was to ask you, look at your life as a Christian over this past week, there'll be lots of conflicting emotions and thoughts and reactions, lots of different situations that we find ourselves in. And the Psalms are not neat. They're not neat. They're prayers to God. They're praise to God. At times, David seems to be talking to the enemies. As we go through this psalm, it seems he's talking to the enemies, or he might be talking to the people who kind of are on his side and with him. And then there's a declaration about the Lord. Sometimes it seems as if he's talking to himself. And so that's why they're not very easy to preach, the Psalms. I actually visited my mother for the first time since March this week. It was a great joy to see her. And I reminded her that when I was young, I would often catch her talking to herself. And I would say to her, "Mother, why are you talking to yourself?" And she replied, "Because in this family, I'm the only person who I can get any sense out of." Now, interestingly, I want to say that we need to talk to ourselves about who we are, united to King Jesus. It's the most common description of the Christian, to be in Christ Jesus, to be united to him. We are united to him, he is in us. So what is the key to peace and joy as we look at this Psalm of David? In distress, in all the challenges of following Jesus. Well, firstly, know the righteous God in prayer. Look what David prays. "Answer me when I call to you," verse 1. "O my righteous God, give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer." So David prays to the righteous God. He's in distress, he's under pressure, he feels the injustice of the situation. He prays to the righteous God, the one true God who will always act righteously. To put it simply, he will always act rightly. David wants relief, literally space. I want space from this distress. He needs the righteous God to have mercy. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is always mercy for those who turn to him and trust the Lord Jesus Christ in his death. But the thing I want to just focus on is, what a blessing to pray to the righteous God, the one who will always act rightly and justly. We may not see it all the time at this moment. In fact, there's lots of things that happen, you think, well, that's not really right. But when we pray to the righteous God, we know that he will act righteously. He will act in judgment against all sin and injustice. One day, he'll only be seen fully on the last day. But remember who you pray to, the righteous God. You may be suffering unjustly, but pray to the God who will act justly. Then secondly, remember the foolishness of ignoring God's king and following false gods. Look at verse 2. Look what David says. How long, O men? So it's as if he addresses these enemies. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Selah. So David is God's king, but his opponents are ignoring him, opposing him, seeking to kill him. They're turning his glory into shame. And David knows they're deluded and they seek false gods. To trust and follow anyone apart from the Lord's anointed is foolish. Again, how we need to be reminded of that every day. That people are chasing false gods that won't ultimately deliver. There is only one true God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever is going on around us, you see, it is wise to trust God's king and not to ignore God's king, as so many are doing. Then thirdly, know who you are in Christ. And I deliberately put that in the title because I'm preaching to Christians. Know who you are in Christ. Look what David says, verse 3. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. So David recognizes as he speaks to those who oppose him, we don't know if they could hear that. I don't think we should find that odd. Don't you often speak to people in your mind and say, what a foolish thing that is to do? You may even turn that into a prayer. Please work in that person. But verse 3, David says, know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. You see, the king is set apart for the Lord, and so are his people. And so, of course, the Lord will hear prayer and that of the king's people. Now, just think how this is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus comes as the perfect man, righteous man of Psalm 1, and he's set apart for the particular task the Father has. He comes to die on the cross to pay the price for our sin, to open up the way to heaven, to open up the way for us to know him with our sins forgiven. And he's raised to life as God's king. Jesus is the triumphant king of Psalm 2. His kingdom will last forever. He will return to judge. And if you are trusting Jesus, you are united to him and set apart for him. That's glorious truth. You're in him, and he is in us as we trust the Lord Jesus by his Holy Spirit. And you've been set apart for him. Isn't that glorious? I love that thought. Been set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do you do? What do you do when you're faced with distress, and difficulties, injustice, suffering? Remember who you are in Christ Jesus. Remember who you are in Christ Jesus. You're set apart for King Jesus. You belong to him. And David knows his prayer will be heard. He is the Lord's anointed. It's interesting, in the Lord Jesus, when he comes as God's Son who comes as man. In John 11, Jesus teaches how his prayers were heard by his Father. He prayed out loud so that people could hear him praying to his Father so that people might believe. And he knew that he would be treated unjustly. I didn't put this down in the sheet, but I was reminded of this, that the Lord Jesus Christ trusted himself to the one who would judge justly. 1 Peter 2 says that Jesus committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So right the way through his life, suffering the injustice, the opposition, the Lord Jesus entrusted himself to the one who would judge justly, and he prayed to his heavenly Father. And you see, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray to the righteous God who will judge justly and rightly. We're united to King Jesus, who now reigns in heaven. And of course, therefore, your prayers are heard. Isn't it wonderful? David says, the Lord will hear when I call to him. What a privilege to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be united to him so our prayers are heard. This always wows me that I have been brought into the same relationship that the eternal Son has had with his heavenly Father for all eternity. That I become a child of God, united to him. I've been brought into the same privileged position of prayer. The Son gives his name so that we can pray to him and our prayers are heard. You've been set apart for relationship with the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. It just wows me every time I think about it. I try to think about that every single day. I hope you will. And then look, know that you're called to godliness in Christ Jesus. Look what David says in verse 4. In your anger, do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your heart and be silent, Selah. Now, some people, there's lots of debate about, some people think that David's speaking to his opponents. I think it's just as likely, and some people will say this, that David speaks to those who maybe have sided with God's king and now who suffer unjustly, you see? He speaks to those who are angry about the injustice they face. They've been wronged. Now, there is a place for righteous anger, but there is a need to control that righteous anger in a godly and Christ-like way. Maybe you as a Christian experience injustice because you follow God's king. You're mocked, you're made to feel small, and it's very easy to allow that anger and sense of injustice develop into sin, into evil thoughts of revenge. How do you react in a godly way? Well, David says, be silent, be silent. Keep your thoughts to yourself. Search your hearts. Yeah, most of the time, we need to keep our mouths shut. And remember that judgment belongs to the King of Psalm 2, that all injustice will be set right one day. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ was vindicated, so will the people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the Apostle Paul applies this psalm to Christians. In Ephesians 4, verse 26, you may want to look it up later, he says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. So you see, knowing Christ, you're set apart for him. You're called to godliness. And in particular here, in your anger, do not sin. Be silent. And then know God's grace in Christ. Or know how to receive God's grace rightly. Verse 5, offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. So David says, well, offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. In this situation, David was a sinner himself, and he knew that he had to offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. How can anyone be right with God? How can anyone receive God's grace rightly? In the Old Testament, of course, you had to offer the sacrifices of the Old Testament law. But that's all fulfilled now in the Lord Jesus Christ. All fulfilled in that once for all sacrifice for sin. Because Jesus, by his death, has made the once for all sacrifice himself. We don't have to go through and offer these right sacrifices. Of course, we respond with a life of sacrificial service. But we're called to trust the Lord Jesus Christ every day. How do we receive God's grace? This week, when you fall into sin, how do you receive God's grace? How do you receive God's grace to keep going when you're facing injustice or suffering, or when you're in distress, or maybe you're thinking about giving up? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, and trust him. And be reassured that all your sin has been dealt with. And then lastly, know joy and peace in Christ, because we read this as Christians. See, David started in distress, and there's mockery. Look at verse 6. Many are asking, who can show us any good? That is basically what this person was saying to me this week. Who can show me any good in being a Christian, in following the Lord Jesus Christ? What you've given your life to, I think, is a complete waste of time. Who can show us any good? And that's the life of following the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to go the same road that he went. It will look a waste of time to follow God's king. It will mean mockery and silly comments. It will often mean being in a minority. But look at David's prayer. It's wonderful, isn't it? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. Isn't that a glorious prayer when you're under pressure and in distress? Think of that grey, overcast day, and suddenly the clouds part. It might happen today. The clouds part and the sun streams through. He prays, let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. It's interesting, it's collective. It's not just the king, it's the king and his people. And the Lord shines his light. Verse 7, you filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. Just look at this joy and peace that results. This is God's joy in hearts. You filled. It's something internal in my heart. And this divine joy is something greater and more abundant than all the material blessings that people chase after. It's more satisfying than all the stuff that people so often chase after. You filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. The world around us, what joy do they have? A big harvest, a pay rise, a bonus, a good holiday. They're good gifts. But the really deep joy, the joy that lasts, comes from God and is found in trusting him and his Saviour. You see, that joy in material things is fleeting. This is something much greater, isn't it? This is because the King saved you for himself and for eternal life. And what security that brings for David. Back then, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Let me say, there are many people who struggle with sleep. I wondered about including a paragraph about how to deal with people who don't sleep very well. My dear wife does not sleep very well. We can't claim this as a promise of good sleep. But it is a promise of eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ. The problems don't go away, but we get a perspective on them because of our relationship with him. See, as we trust Jesus, we're united to him. What happened to Jesus will happen to us until we get to glory. Sometimes the Lord might take away the problem. Sometimes the scoffers are silenced. But generally the pattern is to deny self, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. It is suffering and rejection. The unbelieving world will mock. The unbelieving world will ignore. The unbelieving world will mock and slander. There'll be opposition. And of course, there's all the difficulty of living and suffering in a world of sin and disease and death. But remember, every day this week, every moment, every minute, you are in Christ Jesus. You're united to him and set apart for him. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know peace and joy of sin forgiven, of his grace sustaining you and keeping you going. When you're treated unfairly, you can know the peace and joy. You're secure with him. Just reflect. One day, King Jesus will triumph over all the enemies of himself and his people, and we're united to him. Isn't it wonderful to reflect that we're part of his people, chosen, part of his family, sons and daughters of the living God, brought into the same relationship that he has with his heavenly Father. You're prayed for, and we can pray through him. You're loved and secure in his love. No wonder we can have joy and peace, whatever is going on around us. As Romans 15 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.